Thank you for joining us at the Sick of Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Juwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
Praise Jesus. So while we were at the Willow Creek Summit, one of the most impactful messages that I believe was delivered. A lot of them were very impactful, were very powerful. But I believe that one of the most impactful messages was a story told by a woman called Immaculée Inya. Let me see. You know, she's from my nation. You know, my other nation in Africa, Rwanda. So sometimes I have to. Her name is Immaculée Ilibagiza. Immaculée what? Ilibagiza. So she told a story of when, during the Rwandan genocide. Very moving story. She was the only survivor of her entire family. Her dad was killed, mom was killed, brothers were killed, the entire family was killed. The only reason why she was saved was because a man, a good man, hid her in a very tiny bathroom with several other people. So it was a tiny bathroom with several people stacked on one another, and they had to stay there for months. People came into the house. You know, there's a Rwandan person here, so you know what I'm talking about. So people came into the house, and to kill them, they were searching everywhere. You know, they searched the entire house. Hundreds of people searched the entire house, but they got to, when they got to the bathroom where where they were hid, the women were hid, they just turned back and said, they looked at the guy that was hiding, because the guy is actually from the other tribe. She was supposed to be one of the killers, but chose to leave Christ, was a Christian. So he said, you're a good man, you're not going to hide any one of those rats. And they just like, they searched everywhere, to the roof, they searched boxes, searched everything. But when they got to that place, they turned back. And that's how she was spared. Now, the reason why that happened was because while she was in there, hearing everything that was happening about thousands of people at that time being killed, they eventually became, you know, much more than that, she began to pray to God and just asking God, just if you could just spare my life and all that. And God answered her prayer and her life was spared. So she wrote a book which has become a New York Times bestseller called Left to Tell, meaning that the only reason why I'm left alive is because God chose me to tell a story. So while I was listening to that, it so moved me, and I had a different sermon, but the story so moved me, and because I'm speaking about being witnesses, we're talking about, you know, reaching out to our city this month, I just, you know, felt like, wow, this is a fitting message for me to preach, because it was not just only Immaculée that was left to tell. I believe we all were also left in this world to tell a story. If you believe that, can you say amen? Amen. Now, don't take my word for it. Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. When Jesus Christ was about to leave, he made a statement. And like I told you last week, when somebody is about to leave a face to another, or maybe somebody's about to die, as Jesus was about to depart, you know, a phase in his ministry to man. He was going to go into a new phase of his ministry to us in heaven. The words he spoke, all his words are important, but the words he spoke for those few days that he spent with the disciples were even of higher importance, because those words were the summary, the emphasis of the real reason why he came to the earth. Amen. The real reason why he began to walk with them and to raise disciples. And so we're going to read it together. Matthew 28 from verse 19 to 20. Everybody, let's read together. I want to go. Therefore, go. Okay. Go therefore. I am using the NLT, please. Go therefore. Go and make disciples of all nations. We're going to read that together. 1, 2, let's go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus left us with that message. He still spent some time with them. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, we see him telling them again. You know, they were trying to ask him about other things. Oh, when is Israel going to be delivered from the bondage of the Romans? When are you going to restore the kingdom back now? Because we've been under this bondage for a long time. They were asking him about a lot of earthly things, political stuff and all that. Jesus told them from verse 7 that you don't need to worry about, from verse 7. He said, no, you don't have to worry about things that God has committed into his own hand. He said, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. And they are not for you to know. Hold on. So, you know, many times, you know, people want to know, when is Jesus Christ coming back? I've seen people who calculated it and all that. And they said, he's going to come back in a particular, it happened different times in history. And they always miss it. Amen. Because God, the way God has done it, God is not going to inform anyone. He has told us that when he comes, he's going to come like a thief in the night. So he's not going to inform anybody about the time he's coming. In fact, he said he's going to come at a time when you least expect. Amen? A time when you least expect. So he said, all I need you to do is that you need to be ready and prepared. Just live ready and live prepared. That's all you need to do. Because I'm going to come at any time. And we don't know the time. So many times we try to wonder, we try to ask those questions. When is he going to come? You know, what's going to happen? How is this? We're trying to find dates and, you know, eschatological stuff. I love it. I taught the kids, you know, during the, you know, summer camp, all those events and everything. But I always put a disclaimer. We don't know how any of this thing is going to go. This is just our own limited revelation of it. We don't know when it's going to happen. But one thing we're sure of is that Jesus is coming back. Amen. And there's going to be a new heaven and there's going to be a new earth where God's ultimate purpose for his kingdom is going to be fulfilled. There's a kingdom that is present, there's a kingdom in the past, and there's a kingdom that is coming. The kingdom that is in the present is supposed to usher in the coming kingdom. We don't know when, we don't know how, we only have conjectures based on what we have seen in scriptures. But the most important thing is this: are you living a life of purpose? Are you living a life dedicated to him? Are you living ready? Because it's going to happen. So God says, don't be concerned. Jesus was saying, don't be concerned about date and when am I going to die? When is this going to happen? When is Jesus going to come and all that? He said, this is the assignment. This is why I left you here. I left you here to tell something. Let's go to verse 8. He said, but you, everybody say me. Oh, hi, say hi. Say, but I will receive power. Yep. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. I don't know about you, you know, I don't know whether you have ever been in a court case before, or, you know, maybe you've been in some kind of legal dispute before, or something else. Maybe it's not legal. Maybe there's just sometimes you just needed to make a case. Are you listening? You need to make a case. Now, when you are making a case for yourself, when you're making a case for yourself, you can turn some hurts. You can persuade some people, especially those who trust in your veracity and so on. But sometimes, even no matter how trustworthy you are, when you have other people talking about you, making the case for you, witnessing for you, you discover that your case becomes stronger. Does everybody identify what I just said? Your case becomes stronger. That's why many of us, we have, you know, whenever we send out our resume, what do we have at the bottom? References. We either list our references or we say references are available upon what? Upon request. That's why we have people who attest to us when we apply to schools. That's why we have people who speak for us. Amen. Everybody needs somebody to speak for them. Amen. Because sometimes speaking for yourself can become limited. Now, Jesus was saying it when he said, you will be my witnesses. He was essentially saying, he was essentially telling them, you know what? I want you, I need you to become my references. I need you to begin to attach to people. Now, you will not do it by yourself. I am going to come and live inside of you by sending my Holy Spirit. And you are going to do it by the power of my Spirit. But I'm going to need your mouth. I'm going to need your eyes. I'm going to need your hands. I'm going to need your gift. I'm going to need your talent. I'm going to need your money. I'm going to need everything that you have for you. And most importantly, I'm going to need your positioning. Everybody say my positioning. You see, when Jesus Christ was on the earth, he was limited in the sense that he came as God into a human body. So a human body can only be in one place at a time. So that's why Jesus Christ could only affect, you know, the regions around Palestine. And even in the regions around Palestine, there were some places he could not get to, some people he could not heal, some people he could not touch. There was a time, you know, he got so frustrated, quote and unquote, you know, about that in Matthew chapter 9, starting from verse, let's start reading from verse 31. Matthew chapter 9, let's start reading from verse 31. He said, you know, instead they went out and they spread his fame all over the region. Go further, you know, verse 32. When they left, a demon-possessed man who couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. Let's go, we're going further. So Jesus cast out the demons and then the man began to speak. The crowds were amazed. Nothing like this has ever happened in Israel, they exclaimed. But the Pharisees said, he cast out demons because he's empowered by the prince of demons. So Jesus doing miracles on his own and doing all that. But look at that, verse 35. He was doing it on his own, but he said, Jesus traveled through all the towns. Everybody say all the towns. If he could be everywhere, now he's God and he could be everywhere, but he limited himself in a human body, so he couldn't be everywhere. So he traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. But listen, look at what happened, verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. His heart was broken for them because they were confused and helpless. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I don't know if you have ever experienced that before in the city. I have experienced, and I do experience it in many times. When you go into the city, some of you need to take a drive through the city. And some of you know what I'm talking about because you are actually very much in touch with what is happening in the city. When I walk around the city, when I see the children, when I see the youth, sometimes when I go, you know, downtown, like drive in the night, and I see, you know, go to Clark Street, and you see people clubbing, you know, like you see the whole street filled up, people that are inebriated, people that are, you know, they are just drunk, and, you know, and you know, young people who are living purposeless lives. You go to the business district, even during the day you drive around, you see people who are actually like walking dead. Amen. You know, they have to walk, they have to do all that. But really, the essence of living, which is purpose, is not there. They're only living to survive. They're only moving so that they can be able to pay the bills and be able to pay the mortgage and to do all that. That's all a lot of people are living for. You drive around and go, you know, go to the south side. You see people standing there, the homeless people. You know, who are drug addicted. One of the most heartrending things that ever happened to me was when I sat down when I had to work with somebody who was addicted to cocaine for several months. I saw the effect of it. How it takes money away. How it takes a life away. And you know, going to the prison, you know, and sitting down, you know, with those kids, you know, in the detention center, and then telling their stories how, you know, violence was just a way to protect themselves. How the gun is just a way that they feel loved. So you see, you go around the city, and I know you also do the same. You meet people at work, you meet people all over the place, and you discover that people, sometimes we laugh, sometimes we dance, sometimes we dress, but you discover that inside, a lot of people are confused, and a lot of people are helpless. Their family were helpless. There are people who are helpless. They just don't know how they're going to go. How can they go, you know, the next day? How are they going to handle the family issues? When somebody does not know what it means to pray to God to solve your problem, it's a big thing in this place. Amen. Then you begin to look for all kinds of alternatives. And those alternatives do not work. They're like water. You know, they're like the kind of the water that Jesus was talking about to the woman at the well. That says the kind of water that I will give to you, you know, is a well of water that will be in you, springing up into eternal life. Not just this natural water that you're going to be thirsty again. People get into relationships, they get into drugs, they get into all these things because they don't have the real thing. So that's how Jesus felt. Please, you know, project it again. That's how Jesus felt. He said he went about and he discovered, he saw them, and then his heart was broken. He said because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Everybody say sheep without a shepherd. So confusion and harassment. When a sheep gets a shepherd, then something changes in the life of the sheep. The sheep is assured of food. The sheep is assured of drink. The sheep is assured of protection. The sheep is assured that in the midst of danger, you know, there's somebody who is watching out. The sheep is assured of direction. That's what Psalm 23 was talking about. But there are so many people who don't have that. People who have to seek and go to deceptive psychic lines operating by devils to just try to find an answer, an insight into the issue going on in their lives, or something, you know, that happened, a bereavement, or just because they want to know what does the future hold. People go to the ones who are going to fleece them. Amen. They will fleece them, take some money from them, because, you know, they just want to find truth. They just want somebody to, they want somebody to speak to them. And if they don't do that, they just get other things. They try to get high. Amen. You know, they get high because they just want to experience, you know, they just want an experience out of all the issues that they are going through. So they either use drugs or use some other things to try and get high. But you know what has been happening? The people who have the real solution, the people who have the real solution, have not told them, because we have not really believed that we have the real solution. But I'm here to tell you this morning that you have the solution. Somebody say, I have the real solution. So what was Jesus' answer to this? Next verse. What was his answer to it? Verse 37. It says that, and verse 37, quickly. Verse 37. Verse 37. It says, he said to his disciples, the harvest, everybody say the harvest, is great, but the workers are few. So the reason why the people had no shepherd was because those who were actually working, shepherding them, were few. So he says, pray the Lord of the harvest, or the Lord who is in charge of the harvest, ask him to send more workers into his fields. Next verse. We're going to go into chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Verse 2. Let's keep moving on. Here are the names of the 12 apostles and so on. Jump to verse 4. So he sent them out. Keep moving. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles. Apostles simply means these people had no, it wasn't a title to them. These people had no ecclesiastical training. They had nothing. They were just fishermen that Jesus sent out. What made them apostles was because they were sent. Apostles is simply somebody who was sent to do something with this instruction. Don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans yet, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. So they were sent to God's lost sheep. Amen. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons, give as freely as you have received. And the Bible tells us that they went eventually and they came back and they told Jesus that the demons were subject to them, and they all rejoiced. And Jesus told them, don't rejoice because of that alone, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So what I'm trying to tell you is that when Jesus said, I want you to be my witnesses, he was saying, I need you to speak for me. Let me tell your neighbor, say, Jesus needs you to speak for him. I need you. So he was limited to a body while he was on the earth. So he had to train other people. He had to send other people to go ahead and speak, give the same message, speak the same message that he had in other places. He had to multiply himself. So the genius of redemption, this is where I'm going, the genius of redemption and the coming of the Holy Spirit is that what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 10 then, of multiplying people by training them, he now does it by coming back and not incarnating himself just in one human body, but he comes back to incarnate himself, to live inside all the human bodies that will receive him. Amen. He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters, so young people, will prophesy. Old men will dream dreams. My servants and handmaidens, they will also prophesy. Hallelujah. And so he said he's going to pour out his spirit. So now everybody who has received Jesus as their Lord and Savior we now become an embodiment of Jesus. We now become apostles, sent ones into the places where God has positioned us. And we don't need to go to theological school to learn how to be a witness. We do not need any other thing. Like I told you last week, all you need is to be able to tell the story of your own experience with God. Amen. Just be able to tell the story of your experience with God. I told you last week, the most powerful message that you are going to ever preach is the story of your experience with God. Somebody told me that she heard the message last week, and then she goes to, she's not here today. You know, she goes to Inglewood, the Inglewood High School, and she decided that, you know what? So she leads a camp there, a youth camp at the place. And so basically the youth camp is a secular youth camp. You understand? So it's not a religious one. So you are not really supposed to be preaching and all that in there. So, but, you know, like I said last week, I said, your testimony is protected by the First Amendment. So I want to repeat, everyone say, my testimony is protected by the First Amendment of the Constitution. So even if they told you that, you know, you can't speak at work and all that, you can't preach the gospel, if you are telling your story, nobody can sue you for telling your story. Somebody comes to me and you're telling your story, nobody can sue you. This is what happened to me. So you know what she did? So while the kids were there, were coming in, kids from Inglewood. So she put on a good rap music, Christian rap music. And then she begins to sing. And begin to dance, began to dance. So as the kids were entering, like rap, so they just all began to, everybody just began to eat it and dance and do all that, and afterward, getting into that, she just began to tell them, and began to tell them her own story, and began to tell them that she said, the atmosphere in the place, something happened to the atmosphere, and then something dawned on her too, that, I can do this, and she repeated it again, amen. So she was being a witness for Christ. Come on, let's put hands together. I love such stories. Let's appreciate God for that. Amen. I'm telling you, you don't have to have, a message with point one, point two, point three, or point four, and use the Greek and use the Hebrew. All you need to do is to tell your story. Everybody say, tell your story. Has God done anything in your life? Has God done anything in your life? Has He done anything in your life? Do you have a testimony to share? All you need to do is to share that testimony, and you'll be amazed at what God can do with your testimony. I told you, my messages, basically, the things people remember, people don't remember your sermons, they remember your stories. So I meet people, different places that I preached, and then they may not remember what I, but they say, I remember when you told this story about this, story of my life, and that's something applied. When I went to the, when we went to Willow Creek, how many of the sermons do you remember now? But you remember what, it was her name. We remember the story of this lady, right? We remember those who told their stories. But we can't remember any of the other sermons. People remember stories, and that's why Jesus Christ used a lot of stories. That's why we had the parables and all that. He used stories. When you tell stories, you make impact. Amen! When you tell stories, you make impact. So, this month I want you to start articulating your story. Don't be ashamed. Good story, bad story, every one of them, God needs them. Because you do not know whether the person that you are riding the Uber with, or the, your Uber driver, or the person that you are working with is going through exactly the same thing that you went through. And the solution that you received, which is Jesus Christ, is what the person needs. The person might look all put together, and you may feel that this person does not need what I have. But I'm telling you, you'll be amazed at how people break down when somebody begins to share. And they'll tell you and say, you know what? That is exactly what I'm going on in, what is going on in my life right now. And your story just minister to me. I want you all to be aware of that. Hallelujah. Aware of that in the name of Jesus. So let me just tell you two things, and I'm going to end with that. I'll just tell you two things. Everyone say, number one, I was chosen to tell. Say, I was chosen. I was chosen to tell. So not in leaving us to tell, God looked, and the Bible tells us in His wisdom, He chose some people to be part of the witnessing force. And if you have received Jesus Christ, you are one of those people. So that means there was something he believed about you, that you can do it. That's why he left you and he chose you. I'm going to read a verse on that, and then I'll read a verse after that, and we're going to end. Amen. Let's read it together. One, two, go. One, two, let's go. We don't like that. For you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Because you have been chosen, because you have been called. Look at that. He said, as a result of this, because you have been separated, as a result, because God knew you before he chose you. That means you can tell other people. You can. Somebody say, I can. You can. You can tell your story. You can do it. Next verse. Amen. This is a bit long. One, two, let's go. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. Has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together on authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we're united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. So he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, will bring praise and glory to God. And now you, the Gentiles, have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did it for what purpose? So, you know, what Paul was telling is that if you are in Christ, God handpicked you. And the reason why he handpicked you and showered you with his love is because he knows that you will tell the story. And the end goal is that as each and every one of us begin to tell the story of what he has done in our life, he will use that to bring everything in heaven and on earth under Christ. So he will use it to bring the school, your school under Christ, your workplace under Christ, your family members under Christ, the political world under Christ, everywhere under Christ, as each and every one of us starts to tell our story, because we understand that we're chosen as witnesses for him. Can you give God some praise for that? Hallelujah. So not only were we chosen, finally, not only were we chosen, we're called. Everyone say we're called to tell. So he chose, then he called. He called each and every one of us to tell. So people ask me, they said, Pastor, what's my calling? And you know, City Light, where you know, with that, that's what we're about, helping people discover their callings and all that. But like I say, every calling of God is ultimately so that you can, through your unique place in Christ, expand the kingdom of God by bringing more disciples there and filling the earth with God's values. That's the ultimate of everyone. We're not called for ourselves. We're called for him. Hallelujah. So you have received a call. Amen. Let's read it together. One to go. Jude, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to those who are called. Look at that. Beloved in God the Father and kept. Everybody say kept. By what? Kept for Jesus Christ. So you are, everybody say I'm kept for Jesus Christ. So he called you for his purpose. He needed witnesses, and that's why he called. The next one. Paul was castigating the Galatians. Here. Because they were called for a purpose, but then they were now speaking another news. Amen. They were speaking another news apart from the one that he was called. They were learning that and speaking that and preaching that. So he says, everybody, one, two, let's go. He said, I'm amazed that you are quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different what? Gospel. So telling us that we are actually called into the gospel for a gospel, for a particular good news. And that's the good news of Jesus Christ as the only Savior, the only one that can change the world, is the only answer to the world. So don't desert it. Don't desert this gospel, you know, just to tell people. You know, sometimes people are in groups and all that, and the only thing they share, I do that, but I always make sure. See my social media and all that. Don't make your social media just a place for you to just share about how nice your new dress looks. You know, or how beautiful, you know, you look. Or maybe just, you know, motivations, you know, quotes from people who have no relationship with Christ. I do share that. But what I'm saying is that use your social media pages to also witness your faith in Christ. You know, after I finished preaching last week, I walked around. I saw a lady, you know, who was just typing. And what she was doing was sharing the message, the live stream of the message. And I said, yeah, you are being a witness. And she said, yes. She was sending it to all our people that you guys got to hear this. Yeah, we can do that. Hallelujah. Somebody say, we can do that. We should do that. If you don't know how to use social media, check my page, amen. You know, and there are many other pages. Tell your story. Tell it either in words, either in pictures, or tell it in videos. Amen. Tell your story. What has God done in your life? Even if you put a nice picture of yourself, put a quote there, amen. And say, this is only because of Jesus. Amen. Hashtag, only because of what? Of Jesus. You know, you put up your business there, only because of what? Of Jesus. Your initiative or whatever. Only because of what? Your family there looking nice. Only because of what? Of Jesus. Put it there. And I'm telling you, you'll be amazed how people will call you. How people will text you. Or Facebook message. You know, just say, you know what? People have told me from there. You know, there are people who call me and they say, just because I post pictures of family, they call me and say, you know what? Can you pray for me? You know, because I just love your family. I've received things like that. You know, I've received places to preach just because of pictures. I just post a picture. Somebody will call me from one nation and say, you know what? Can you do this? Can you do that? Your a picture is worth 1,000 words. That's why Instagram is so powerful. Put beautiful things there. Put things there, but put a word there. Amen. Attribute it to Jesus. You know, attribute it to Jesus. Amen. When you get your degree, you get a promotion, put it up there and put attribute it to what? You get a new car, it's okay. You know, put attribute it to Jesus. Amen. If you're here, your new hairstyle is nice, attribute it to Jesus. Amen. Attribute it to Jesus. Spread the message. Because that's what we are being called to do. Your call may not be spectacular. There are two types of calls that we see in the Bible. We see like there are spectacular calls, like God appearing to Jesus, to Paul, and then telling him to preach. But there are some calls that are not spectacular. They are just incidental calls. You know, Jesus walks and sees a man who's been struggling, you know, trying to get some fish, and he said, borrow me your boat. You know, sometimes God is not going to call you by giving you an audible voice. Most people were not called that way. And those of us have experienced it, we've only experienced it once or twice in a lifetime, you know, in our lifetime. You know, he doesn't do that. It's just non-spectacular, incidental thing. You are at work, and then, you know, somebody says, can I use your pen? Or can I do something? God begins to use natural things to get you into situations, into positions, so that you can share your message. Be responsive. You know, be responsive to the call of God. Amen. Because you might be the one that will defeat Goliath while you are on your way to deliver a message for your father. Are you listening? You might be the next king while you are the one who is going about to look for a donkey for your father, like Saul. Be sensitive to places where God puts you. Be sensitive to your bus ride. Be sensitive in your Uber ride. Be sensitive with the next partner that you got at work. Be sensitive with the next neighbor that moved near you. Be sensitive with the people that you see on the street, because they might be divinely sent to you. For you to share something with them and enthusiastically share your story and see what the Lord can do. Hallelujah. How many of you are ready to be witnesses for him this week? Are you telling me you're going to be a witness for him this week? Come on, I want to know. Tell me, are you going to be a witness for him?
Are you going to tell your story? Are you going to tell your story? All right, we're going to do it. And like I say, if you are here and you said, I don't have a story to tell, or you're watching me and say, I don't have a story to tell, I tell you, God is a maker of stories. There was a day that I met him for the first time, and my story began. You can meet him today for the first time, and your story will begin. And maybe you've been with him for a long time also. He can create new stories in your life. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.